Sophistication. Class. Restraint. Dignity. None of these words have anything to do with Super Troopers 3.
1, 2, 3, go! Barbara in the house!
Hope you guys aren't too drunk already!
Now in theaters.
No new info on the guy who did it.
Oh, so it couldn't have been a woman?
Sexist!
You ever see Ocean's 8?
Enough! Super Troopers 3, meow. Playing only in theaters. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parents.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This summer, whatever you're watching, baseball, golf, soccer, racing, DraftKings has you covered for every single moment of it. The DraftKings Sports app is now available in all 50 states, bringing the game straight to your fingertips wherever you are. New DraftKings customers, sign up with code KSR, spend $5 to get 150 in rewards within 14 days. Includes all markets. That's code KSR. In partnership with DraftKings, the crown is yours. Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. Connecticut? Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21+, void in Canada. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Availability varies. Predictions offer void in New York. Bet to get bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Trade to get prediction dollars that expire in 1 year. $50 in rewards issued every 7 days via click to claim for 14 days. One non-withdrawable reward redeemable. Terms at dkng.co/offer. Limited time offer.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Now, Officer Carol Pizzani, hey, please be seated. Mr. Altenburn, feel free to come forward. You... It's like I walk in and you, like, run away. I'm so sorry. Well, you're at the top of my to-do list here. Why don't you start, but then I'll go to my list, but you're on my list here too.
Mr. Elegant and I have worked, and we have a set of jury instructions that I can get to you probably in the next couple hours, certainly before lunch, that are there. There's still a fair amount of work on the negligent infliction of emotional distress for Maya that you'll have to do. And
on count 14, and the nuances of the what should be in the intentional infliction of emotional distress counts, I'm happy, I think, to tell you that I think we've got the apparent agency issue pretty well nailed down. I don't think there's going to be much for you to have to resolve on the language of that at all. But, you know, additionally, I've got motions to add some additional special instructions. So I'm concerned about two things at this point. I can get you a verdict form also before the end of the day. The count 14, as of the current jury instructions that I've just gotten back from the other side, still remains a count on a theory that the hospital as a hospital had a duty to train, not under a medical standard of care, but a common law negligent standard of care, to train doctors, and that if the training was negligent, that they are liable under some theory that doesn't involve the doctors being negligent. So I'll put this into the verdict form and the like, but I want to make it clear that I don't think that is even a legal cause of action. I never have, so I'll put it in. But I am concerned about hearing time and when we're going to resolve this. I know we have...
Part of my yellow sticky.
Okay, then I'll let you talk about that.
I've got two concepts, and I'll probably need the trial attorney input as well. And I don't know if I can make the decision right this second. Maybe we can make this decision at lunchtime. There are two times on Monday that make sense in my mind. Either we come in early and start doing jury instructions, let's say 8 or 8:15 in the morning, assuming that's, of course, that I get them early enough today, or we do it at 4 o'clock on Monday, and wherever we are at 4 o'clock, we know we just have to stop and then spend time on it. This isn't a final decision, but do you have an input as to what is better?
4 p.m.
Yeah, the trial lawyers think 4 p.m. because they'll have witnesses.
Well, I know that's what they're going to want.
And I am happy to do it, at 6 in the morning or at 10 o'clock at night. You just tell me and I'll be here.
my overarching concern, and we need to, and I'm hoping we are still on track to have all evidence in by Wednesday. That's, I guess, the ultimate goal I've been aiming for. That would include any rebuttal case as well, so that we have a jury instruction set, finished Wednesday night. Because remember,
You're gone.
Yeah. And I, if I absolutely need to figure out a time, I could possibly be here early Thursday morning, but the world works better for me if I could be gone, but...
Because your vision is that these will be read to the jury on Monday morning.
And so that's why I need everything to be put to bed, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I'm, as you were suggesting, we're running out of daylight on nailing these things down, so...
Well, that's why Monday morning might... In any way I can, and I will try to have the rough out of the verdict form to you before I leave to go back to the office.
Do you think, even if we do it at 4 o'clock on Monday, that we're going to be, assuming that I'm able to make decisions?
Yeah, it might take more than 90 minutes, but we could get this done, yes.
Let me just make sure that I don't have... Yeah, and Tuesday's Halloween, and I have not been told what my absolute parental obligation is.
But
I would not plan on me having the ability to stay Tuesday night.
Yeah,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
The jury's going to feel the same way.
Yeah, we'll get them out of here by or before.
But I'm probably not going to be able to stay here Tuesday night to work on jury instructions.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on jury instruction?
No.
And please pass along my appreciation to Mr. Elegant and his team, in addition to you, for working on it. And the last time I looked at it, it was much farther along. And I really...
The basic things are pretty well hammered down. So, just there's several causes of action that's just been troublesome from the beginning. So, thank you.
Well, thank you. Before we go to your Excel list, where am I on?
That was next on my list, too. Well, I wanted to make sure I understood exactly what the court wanted. So, I've had my assistant create Excel sheets, three separate sheets, one for the joint, one for the defense, one for the plaintiff. But I want to make sure, I was under the impression that the only thing that would be on there would be the exhibit number and a description of the exhibit.
Neutral description of the exhibit.
A useful description of the exhibit.
Useful and neutral.
Yes, no, understood. Like it'll say all children's hospital admission records from whatever. But I wanted to also clarify, for instance, for the over 1,000 pages of the Johns Hopkins alternative record, what is the court envisioning that we would also put, like, specific page numbers, like you could put discharge, whatever it is, so that they didn't have to search 1,000 pages for specific records, or do you want us to not do that?
I am fine if each side wanted to designate specific pages. And so if plaintiffs wants pages 282, 349, 622, and you want 108, just combine them together. So it wouldn't be a situation where I object to you listing this one. It's like if the plaintiffs want it, put it. If the defense
right,
wanted
right,
to put it.
One place. Yes, it would be under the joint exhibit list anyway.
Right, it probably would be the separate, you know, like the next column over the sub-numbers.
So a separate column for that, is what you're saying?
I mean, it might be.
We can figure it out, Judge. But I just want to make sure. So it would just be the exhibit number, neutral description, and if it's broken out in any fashion, that would also be, like, either underneath it or... Or separate.
Yeah, and I'm also looking at the clerk and making sure this would be helpful to them too. Yes.
Okay, so we started working on that. We're keeping it updated with the exhibits that we're putting in. When does the court, well, when we close, I guess, is when it'd be finished. So.
If we could have a draft Monday morning, knowing that it's not the final one.
That would be fine.
And in that way, if we need to make any type of course correction on it, we have a little time.
That's definitely doable. I guess I would ask plaintiff's counsel if they want to get to me anything that they want to, so we just have one Excel thing, if they want to send it over, and we'll include it in that, so we're dealing with
I would prefer to see the defendants, and then we would add in, and we see what they want to think.
I don't care who does it, let's just, if y'all could just talk. Ms. Crowell's apparently already has a list. I don't know if you have a list as well.
No, that's why I say it would be helpful for us. They've already got something going.
No, we created the first list.
Oh, right.
Did. Yeah. So now it's back over to them.
Well, they created it. They created it. It had a lot of things on it. It had the data was admitted. It had whether there was an objection. It had rulings. We just broke it down to just name and exhibit number and just copied it and put it in on an Excel spreadsheet.
Right. The jury's only going to get a list of anything that's been admitted. So we don't need to put objections. We don't need to put... The data admitted, would that, I guess
no,
the jury wouldn't know when we admitted it, so I don't think
they also had like what witness talked about it. I think that's just too much. So we were just going to put date, the exhibit number, and a description.
Yeah, and then the subcategory.
And then we put the subcategories, correct. Okay, we'll have a draft by Monday for Your Honor.
Mr. Anderson, you said you had something to discuss.
Well, two things, Judge. I'm still waiting on Bob Ray to know how that's going to go. Because
Mr. Alton Byrne is...
I'm sorry, I should have said that. The client's given his authorization to withdraw the affirmative defense on the battery.
Okay, so the transcript's clear. The defendant has withdrawn the Fabray on affirmative defense, so that... simplifies the verdict form and the jury instructions.
Okay, yeah, and that, because we are working on the verdict form and along those lines, we would move the court to allow us to prepare a worksheet for the court and defense counsel's review on the general damages, so the jury has some context within which to work out an award.
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying.
Well, I think probably the better thing for us to do is actually come up with one and show the court. I've seen it in other cases. I would like to use it here because it is a complex case over a long time, and it helps the jury work through days forward, days back, and some different methodologies, all approved by appellate law as being able to be argued. So if you've got a per diem, or you've got an hour, or you've got it per day, or you've got it per week, and then it's designed so that the jury can come up with some specific numbers, and then they can insert it as they would like to, and it's not just one methodology. But I was hoping to give them something that would allow them. And the other thing is just to have them copying stuff as we put it up on a big board, but then they spend all their time writing stuff down.
Well, this jury doesn't seem to have a problem taking notes.
Yes, I stipulated.
We ended up having to go buy more notepads.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you really?
Yes.
My God. Well, they have written a book for every single witness.
I think they've gone through 9 packs that are 5-inch thick. In any event, it doesn't matter. I do know that the defense has filed a motion to limit argument on certain of what you were just saying, so that's going to have to get figured out between now and then.
I understand, Judge. We have the case law now. We're fairly confident, and whenever the court would like to, defense would like to argue it, we can.
But, I mean, I don't know if you're asking me. I'm not going to be giving the jury, here's this worksheet, and this is what you have to fill out on damages.
No, no. I'm
not doing that.
No, it's not coming from the court.
Well, it just says the court doesn't give advisory opinions neither will the defense at this time.
So
that's why I say I will come up with something and you can all review.
Anything else, Mr. Altenburn, since you've come to this side of the bar?
I'm excited about that.
One other housekeeping item, and Madam Clerk, let me know if I misstep on this. There's going to be exhibits that were tendered to the clerk that were not ID'd for purposes of trying to get it in. And so the clerk's normal process is if it's never technically ID'd, it goes back to the party. Now, obviously, if a party wishes to move something in and it gets ID'd, then it stays with the clerk for the balance, because it then has to go to the appellate court, assuming that there's any type of appeal.
Can I ask clarification? Are you saying, am I understanding you correctly, that we handed the clerk, or both sides handed the clerk, documents that have not been addressed in any fashion during the court?
Correct. Okay. And that's very typical in... And now here's 100 exhibits, and 25 of them are admitted into evidence. 50 of them are discussed, but not admitted. Then there's another 25 that they're holding on to, but really were not discussed in any way, shape, or form. And so that subset of 25 goes back. Now, I'm raising this for two reasons. One is to remind, if you want something that you need for appellate purposes, you need to seek to move it in and have it ID'd or whatever you need to do, because at that point, the clerk then holds on to it for purposes of the record. The second thing is, right now there's a whole bunch of documents that don't meet that criteria.
Okay.
And so the clerk, and I'm probably speaking on their behalf, and they will correct me if I'm wrong, probably does not want to hold the tonnage of stuff that is not yet been formally ID'd. So, assuming that we finish next Wednesday, perhaps you could have people arrange with a clerk, maybe on Thursday, come with the dolly carts to take the tonnage of stuff that is not going to be part of the appellate record.
Understood.
And get it out.
Okay. Understood.
That's quite a bit, Mr. Hunter.
I'm just snickering. I'm thinking about what capacity do you...
Yes. No, we understand, Judge, and appreciate the issue, and we will take care of
that. Yeah, so maybe on Thursday, while... You know, after all the evidence is closed, I'll let y'all work it out with them.
Yeah, the timing and when that's available. That's fine.
But I remember when it came in, there were movers that came in with dollies and all of these things, and we'll probably need
on
I'm
the
not
back
doing
end.
It. So yeah, we're gonna get some help.
Would it be okay, if, just in an abundance of caution, if we did that while the jury was deliberating?
I don't care. The clerk might care. I personally don't care.
Okay.
So that's why I want y'all just talk to them.
Okay.
But, we will. Thank you.
You know, the reality is, though, when this trial's over, they're going to have to move on to other things. And so I don't want them to have to be up in North County doing something and then having to drive all the way down here just to meet your movers.
Judge, what I'll try to do, if court please, I'll talk to the clerk's office about that, but what I'm thinking right now is that it may be most propitious to try to target Tuesday morning or something like that and have them here and just move it in, move it out.
Well, but, and just as a practical issue, I have not talked to Judicial Security about when the jury is deliberating, whether we're going to allow people to sit in here or if we're going to close and lock the courtroom. So
okay.
It is possible your movers are not going to be able to come in and out of the courtroom while the jury is deliberating. I have not had a discussion with security about that.
We'll work it out. Okay. Very well. If you could keep us advised about that, that would be helpful.
I will. What's any other items before we bring in the jury today? Who do we have today, actually?
The first witness is going to be Dr. Jennifer McCain. The second witness, I believe, will be Jason Baker, the finance expert for All Children's.
As to the first witness, Jennifer McCain, Your Honor, we want to ensure that the testimony there does not go over and beyond the court's ruling as to experts and non-retained experts. And we want to ensure if the defense is planning on asking any type of questions along those lines that they be proffered first so that we don't have to stop the testimony in the middle of it.
Is she a retained expert?
No.
Or
neither.
And she was neither was she disclosed as a non-retained expert offering opinion. So she is not listed in any way to offer opinions in this case.
Tell me who she is. What's her role in this case?
She was a treating psychologist at Tampa General. I'm going to ask her what her notes are, what her opinions were based on her diagnosis and treatment of mine. So, she's allowed to express her opinions about what her diagnosis was of the child.
Are you going into any sort of standard of care or anything like that?
No.
So it's based on her observations and her opinions based on what she herself saw?
Correct. And obviously the consult notes that she would have relied on.
At Tampa General, but not. She's not going to talk about what happened in 2016 at all?
No.
So I understand, and then it's just going to be, and I reached a diagnosis, and what is that diagnosis, and then we're not going to go into, did you see any signs of, or did you do the, and things outside her records is my concern. I don't want them finding a way into her speculating on things that were not part of her review at that time in that one admission in August of 2015.
Well, you know, it sounds like Mr. Shapiro is going to be restrained, and I trust your ability to stand up and object.
I'll do
that. I'm not sure we've heard the word objection in this case. So, but I trust your ability to do that.
I'll figure that one out.
Anything else?
Not from the defense room.
Not from the plaintiff, Your Honor.
Bring in the jury. How are you feeling?
All right, jurors entering.
Okay, please be seated, everyone. Happy Friday. I want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves. You did no investigation and received no information. Is that all correct? And no one approached you about this case. Is that correct? And you have not seen any media accounts about this case. Is that correct? Thank you very much. Mr. Shapiro, your next witness, please. Why don't we have, starting with the plaintiffs, take appearances, Ms. Lawrence. Thank you.
Ethan Shapiro, Pat Krolls, Howard Hunter, David Hughes, joined by Dr. Jenny Dolan.
And thank you, Ms. Krolls, for reminding me.
Raise your right hand.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Right, we're going to come around this way.
May it please the court.
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you please introduce yourself to the jury?
My name is Jennifer McCain.
Okay. And Dr. McCain, there's a microphone in front just to make sure that everyone can hear.
Sorry, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you. And what's your profession?
I'm a pediatric neuropsychologist.
Okay. And where do you practice medicine?
I work at Tampa General Hospital.
In terms of your education and training, I'll just try to see what we can walk through briefly. Where did you get your undergraduate degree?
University of California, Santa Barbara.
And I hate to date people, but where did you graduate?
92.
And what did you do after you graduated from college?
I went to graduate school at Long Island University.
What did you study?
Clinical psychology.
And what did you graduate?
I did.
Yeah. What year did you graduate?
1996.
And what degree did you obtain?
A doctorate in clinical psychology.
And where did you go for work after that?
Peninsula Hospital, Beth Israel.
And what were you practicing there?
Partly that was the beginning of a fellowship, and it was neuropsychology and traumatic brain injury.
And then within the field of psychology, do you hold any board certifications?
Yes, I'm board certified in clinical neuropsychology and recently boarded with a subspecialty in pediatric neuropsychology.
Where do you currently practice?
Tampa General Hospital.
And how long have you been at Tampa General?
A little over 16 years.
And what role, or do you have any department chairs or titles there?
I'm the vice chief of the psychology section for medical staff, and I'm a pediatric neuropsychologist.
Were there times that you served as the chief of psychology at Tampa General?
Yes.
And for what years?
Oh, gosh, I don't recall off a couple of times, I think. And I'm sorry, I don't know the years.
Okay.
There were two stints, and there were 2 years each. And this year I'm vice chief.
We're going to talk to you a little bit about, let me just ask you before we talk about Maya Kowalski. Do you have any specialties or subspecialties in the field of neuropsychology?
No, my work at Tampa General is focused on brain injury and trauma and pediatric rehab.
So we're going to talk about your care and treatment of Maya. Before we get there, have we ever met before?
I don't believe so.
Okay. I'm not that famous, though. have we ever spoken before?
I don't think so.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you about your time with Maya Kowalski, and I'll just represent to you that Maya was a patient at Tampa General from July 31st, 2015, until about August 27th, 2015, okay? And we're going to show you some of your records, so it won't be a memory contest.
Okay.
Let me start with asking you, what role does psychology play in a patient like Maya who's admitted to rehab?
So psychology is part of the interdisciplinary team, which includes the physiatrist, who is the medical director of the program, a nurse practitioner, and then there's physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech-language pathology, child life, nutrition, and I don't know if I'm forgetting it. And then the school is also involved.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you about some of your treatment of Maya, and it starts at Defense Exhibit 3047-0037. And I'll focus you at the bottom. Your consult's going to be on the next page, but just for the sake of the date at the very bottom, this is your first consult. And just for the sake of time, I'll represent to you that Maya was admitted the day before.
Okay.
And we can turn the page now. So this is your first consult. Now, let me ask you a couple questions.
And I'm sorry, is it okay if I get my reading glasses?
Yeah, please, for sure.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure. At the top it says, we don't need to focus in, but it says reason for referral, rehab, and then it says referred by pediatric rehab. Would that be Dr. Kornberg to the
Yes.
Okay. And Dr. Kornberg would be overseeing the pediatric rehabilitation?
Correct.
I'm going to ask you about the history of present illness section. And while you're looking through that, what is a history of present illness?
It's basically the history of what brought her into rehab.
Is this the history given to you by the parents?
No, it's through the medical records.
Okay. At least in terms of what you had reviewed about halfway down, it talks about an admission to All Children's on 7/7/15, and that she was seen by Dr. Cassadante, neurology at All Children's. Is that right?
Correct.
Would that have been something that you saw in the review of past medical records?
Yes.
And then at the bottom of this, it looks like that you had a conversation with Mr. Kowalski. Is that right?
You mean part of the evaluation?
Yeah, it says that the family had told you the father reported a second opinion in Chicago. Do you see that?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So let me ask you a little bit about your what you noted later on this note at page 0040. At the top it says family historian dad. From looking at your note, would it be fair to say that it was just dad that was with Maya at this point?
Yes.
And I'm going to go down a little bit to your assessment of current neurocognitive and behavioral emotional status. And just take a moment to read it, and I'll ask you a couple questions on this section.
Okay.
You're charting in the first sentence about when you entered the room, Maya was coloring and the mood was euthymic?
Euthymic. It's neutral, meaning there was no evidence of depression.
In reviewing this, when you saw Maya on July 31st, 2015, did Maya report to you any incidences of pain?
I don't independently recall. It's whatever is in my notes.
At least according to what you wrote here in terms of your assessment, is there any indication that Maya was having any pain?
No.
At the bottom, you talked about introducing the role of hospital homebound school. What is that?
Hospital homebound school is a program for children who are unable to attend school either for a medical reason, and they have to be at least in the state of Florida, they have to be absent for 15 continuous days before they qualify.
And then if we scroll down a little bit under the treatment plan, and the family goals. I wanted to ask you about a couple of these interventions. It says cognitive restructuring. What does that mean?
Just really looking at the way people think and how they may not, the thoughts may not be rational.
Is that something that you planned on working on with Maya?
It was one of the plans, yes.
And then on the bottom, family goals, there's a sentence that says, family will be able to accept patients' medical condition, disability. What are you referring to there, doctor?
That family will be able just to accept and understand whatever diagnosis that she has.
Okay. I'm going to take you to your next note, which is at 3047-0372. This would be about 5 days later. And we can scroll to the bottom of the page where your note starts. You can take a moment to read the session note, and then I'll ask you a couple questions if you don't mind.
Okay.
At the top, it says that you met with team consultation with physical therapy. What's the goal of meeting with physical therapy at the same time?
A lot of times when a child has difficulties or behavioral issues in therapy, we often do something called co-treatment, where we work together to try to figure out the best way to address those behaviors.
About halfway down the first paragraph, you had noted during physical therapy, Maya was calm. And in the second sentence, you noted that, however, when discussion turned to her brother, Mom, who she states is always working and is always on her computer, she became increasingly whiny and flopped on the
bed. Objection, reading medical records.
Okay. If you look at that second sentence where you just discussed your conversation with Maya, what was the significance of recording that?
The significance was looking at how drastically the behavior changed when the topic was switched to an issue related to her family.
When you put in quotations something like "is always working" and "is always on her computer," is that to reflect whether that came from Maya?
Yes.
during this session, you recorded that Maya had complained of pain everywhere. Were you able to elicit responses from Maya as to where the pain was?
According to my notes, it said she only said that her stomach hurt, or did not hurt, I'm sorry, and rated her head pain as 8 or 9 out of 10.
Did you make any notations of how Maya did once she was returned to her wheelchair?
Yes, she was able to sit up straight and seemed happy and was not complaining of pain or discomfort.
Did you have a conversation with Maya about whether she was making improvements?
Yes, I did.
And what was that discussion?
We were really trying to focus on improvements, and she was having a hard time appreciating her improvements.
Did you have a discussion with Mr. Kowalski about his observations of Maya's behavior?
I'm not sure if it was a conversation, but I did document that he understands that the behavior is filled with exaggerations.
And then at the end, you noted that you wanted to meet with Mom. Why is that?
I'd like to meet with everyone in the family.
A couple other words that I'm not sure what they mean, so I'll see if you can help me. In the section of mood, what is dysphoric?
That just means sad.
And what is labile?
Where emotions are very, a person can cry very easily, kind of like at the drop of a hat. Sometimes it's in relation to something stressful, and sometimes it could not be.
Let's turn to the next page. It's 373, please. I'll take you to the end of your note. In terms of the interventions, What was your, what do you mean by behavioral management?
I think in that case, it would be related to giving positive reinforcement for behavior that is not exaggerated. And ignoring behavior that is exaggerated.
Do you mean from the working with the parents to make sure they're rewarding the behavior that you think is going to help Maya progress?
Correct.
And in terms of cognitive restructuring, what do you mean by that?
It's just a term used to look at the way a person's thinking about things and think if it's something that's rational and it's realistic and if it's something that's hurting them.
In the next sentence, you talk about a concept called behavior dysregulation. What is that?
I think it's a general term for, you know, inability to regulate your behavior.
Let's talk about your third visit, which starts at 0349. And again, the way this prints your note just starts at the very bottom. And notes that you saw Maya 2 days later on August 6th. So we'll go to the next page, 0350. And did you have a chance to meet with Mrs. Kowalski on this day?
Yes, I did.
Okay, take a moment to read your note about this, and then I'll have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
As of this third visit, you made a comment that that Maya's presentation was highly indicative of conversion disorder. What did you mean by that, doctor?
Well, conversion disorder is where you have a presentation of neurological symptoms, primarily something related to motor, which is if you're weak in sensation, that cannot be explained by a neurological disorder.
Did you provide Mrs. Kowalski with any educational written material?
Yes, I did.
Is that standard handouts that you have in your practice?
Yes.
In your practice, in your experience, have you treated conversion disorder in the past?
Yes.
In your practice and experience at Tampa General, had you treated children with CRPS in the past?
Maybe one or two.
And when you had this discussion with mom about conversion disorder, what was her reaction, at least according to your note?
According to the note that she verbalized similar observations and appeared to be accepting of this diagnosis.
And I should have asked, you do have some recollection independent of Maya Kowalski, is that fair?
I mean, very general.
Okay. Let's talk to you about your fourth visit, which is at 0282. And the note is at August 11th, so this is about 5 days later. And if you can take a look at your session description, and I'll ask you a couple questions.
Okay.
According to your note, at this point, it was Mr. Kowalski with Maya, not Mrs. Kowalski. Is that fair?
Yes.
How was Maya doing on this day, in terms of her pain?
I'm sorry. No, it says I met with Maya individually that day.
Okay.
Dad must have come in at the very end, though, because there's a note at the end.
So when you initially went to meet with Maya, she was on her own?
I'm sorry, I can't tell from the note.
When you had a chance to meet, it looks like you met with Maya while she was in her wheelchair. During that initial meeting, did Maya express to you any signs of pain?
No, she did not.
You noted that she was putting together a scrapbook. Why was that significant to you?
That was significant because she had often complained of weakness in her hands and not being able to do those types of tasks.
Did that represent improvement to you?
Yes, it did.
You have a conversation in the next sentence about Maya raising concerns about not going to school. What was your response to that?
I told her that she would be able to return to school because of her progress.
You noted that Mai was open in discussing family dynamics. Let me ask you a question about that. Is your discussion of family dynamics something that you typically do with children who are undergoing psychological care for rehabilitation?
Yes.
And why is that?
Because a lot of times there's family dynamics that are contributing to the current presentation.
What did Maya tell you when discussing the family dynamics?
That she wanted to spend more time with Mom, and Mom was working a lot.
And it looks like you asked Maya to be able to share that with Mr. Kowalski?
Yes.
And Maya agreed?
Correct.
And did you have a chance to talk to Mr. Kowalski about this?
Yes, I did.
And what did, in your conversation with Mr. Kowalski, did he convey to you what his observations were of the interactions between Maya and Mrs. Kowalski?
He indicated that Mom worked a lot and had decreased interactions and time with the family, and that he was the primary caretaker.
And did Mr. Kowalski express any opinions to you about his thoughts on outpatient treatment?
Yes, he agreed with it.
Okay, I'm going to ask you about your next visit, the fifth visit, which starts at 0248. And again, this one starts at the very bottom, but we'll move to the next page. And this is the next day. You had previously been on 812. So let's look at your note from 813, and I'll let you read your session. And then I'll have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
In your opinion, after having this session, did it appear that some of Maya's behaviors were trying to get the attention of her mother?
Yes.
Okay. And why is that significant to you as a neuropsychologist?
That's significant because appears to be one of the issues that's contributing to her disability.
When a little later down in the note, it looks like you had a conversation with Mrs. Kowalski about conversion disorder.
Yes.
And what was her response?
That she did not agree with the diagnosis.
Do you remember anything further about that conversation that you had with Mrs. Kowalski?
I don't.
And then at the end of your note, you documented a difference in Maya's reaction when you were there and when you left. Is that true?
Correct.
And how were you able to make those observations?
How was I able to make them?
Yeah, so just describe how that happens in general.
So when we were talking about going home, and Maya was very upset, and when this happened, we were all trying to ignore her behavior. And she was continuing to cry, but when I went up to leave, her behavior stopped immediately.
Let me ask you about your sixth visit, which starts at 0233. This would be the next day as well. And let me just ask you, is this a typical cycle where you're meeting with family and children every day through the course of rehab, or is this a little more frequent, if you know?
It really depends on the diagnosis and the needs of the family and the patient.
Were Maya's psychological needs, from your perspective at this time, more intensive?
Yes.
Let me ask you about your session note. And let me know when you've had a chance to read the first part, and then we'll turn to the second page, and then we'll come back.
Okay.
And Clay, if you can go to the next page. And I'll let you read the top, and then I'll go back to the first set of questions.
Okay.
Okay. So let's go back to the previous page, Clay, at 0233. And then this is the sixth visit. You had a meeting with Mom, is that correct?
Correct.
And why do you note that you're observing Maya in physical therapy? Why would you be doing that?
To see what her progress was like, see if there was any inconsistent behaviors.
And then in the next sentence, you note a conversation about consideration of functional neurologic system disorder. What is that?
That's just a term that's used sometimes interchangeably with conversion disorder.
And do you remember, do you have a recall of how this discussion went?
No, I don't.
According to your note, does it appear to you that mom showed some resistance but openness to this diagnosis?
She wanted to wait until the neurology consult had been complete before considering it.
And what would be the importance of a neurology consult in that regard, from your perspective?
To rule out any organic neurological disorders.
And just at the bottom, it looks like you were taking a well-earned vacation. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And then let me show you what's 0029. And in fact, Clay, we might want to start at 0028 for a moment. Thank you. Do you know who Dr. Maria Garone,
yes.
Garone, yeah. I'm going to botch it, so let you pronounce it for me. Dr. Garone?
Yes.
Who is she?
She's a pediatric neurologist.
And was this the neurology consult that... would this neurology consult be something that you would review in your course of practice?
Yes.
And it appears this neurology consult, when you had seen Maya last and discussed this potential, was August 14th, so this would be 3 days later. I'm going to ask Clay to go to the next page, 0029. What part of the note would you review? Would it be the impressions, the plan?
I mean, I look at the entire consult note.
From your standpoint as a neuropsychologist treating Maya, what was the significance of your review of this neurology consult?
Question calls for comment on another physician outside the range of the qualifications and without foundation, right? Beyond the scope as to the prior court order.
Did this neurology consult inform your future care of Maya?
It helped to inform my future care, yes.
And how?
Because Dr. Garone could not find a neurological explanation for her symptoms.
Let's ask you about the next note at 0108. And this would be the seventh visit. Looks like you're back from vacation. Take a moment to read your note, and then I'll have a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
Did Maya express any pain to you during this session?
I don't see that she expressed pain, no.
You documented some discussion with Maya about her school, and why did you do so?
Because she was getting discharged, and we were talking about returning to school.
And at least from your standpoint as a treating neuropsychologist, was it your opinion that Maya would be able to return to school?
Yes.
Did you chart or recall what Maya's reaction to that was?
She initially said she wasn't worried about missing school, but she also did not appear motivated to return to school or work on some of her schoolwork while she was in the hospital.
In the second, towards the bottom of the paragraph, you discussed family discord and its contribution to the symptom profile. What are you referring to as family discord?
I don't know. I would assume it was based on, you know, some of her...
objection, speculation, foundation, predicate.
In your experience as a treating neuropsychologist, how does family discord in general contribute to a symptom profile?
The objection, same objection is directed towards.
Madam Court, can I have that question again, please?
Question. In your experience as a treating neuropsychologist, how does family discord in general contribute to a symptom?
Sustained. You gotta wait for the next question.
Okay, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Let me ask you about your next note, which is at 0056. It's titled Psychology Service Discharge Summary. Why do you prepare a note such as this?
Just to summarize the visit and what the discharge plan is.
And are these diagnoses listed here? Well, let me just back up for a moment and establish the date. This would have been done on the date of Maya's discharge, is that right?
Presumably.
Okay. Well, your note is dated the August 27th, date of discharge is listed as the 27th. Okay. At least would be your intention to file
Correct.
The most current report. Okay. You have some diagnoses here. What is diagnosis number four?
Psychological factor affecting physical condition.
And what does that mean?
That someone is having a physical condition that it there's some kind of psychological contribution.
In terms of, at the bottom it says, if you could scroll down a little bit, barriers to community reintegration include caregivers' job obligations. What were you referring to there?
I don't know, just job obligations that might interfere with them being able to carry out the discharge plan.
Let me ask you about some of your observations on page 0057. You can take a moment to read it. I'll have a couple questions when you're done.
Okay.
You had made some recommendations to the Kowalskis for future care?
Correct.
And what were those?
To follow up with mental health after discharge.
And why did you believe that was medically necessary, in your opinion?
Because in treatment of conversion disorder, that is the treatment of choice.
And in terms of referral information, did you provide specific information as to where the family could seek those services?
Yes, I did.
In the part about meeting with Maya prior to discharge, what were your observations?
That she was very anxious about going home.
And she wanted to go home, or she wanted to, what was your impression?
That she was just more anxious than usual about going home.
And you had a discussion about feedback about recovery and focus on return to school. What would that conversation entail?
Just about the importance of returning to school, and she might need some accommodations upon return.
When you last saw Maya on August 27th, was it your opinion from a neuropsychological standpoint that she'd be able to return to school?
Yes.
Let me ask you about document 3047 at 00014. I'll represent to you this is the comprehensive discharge summary. And you're welcome to read the whole thing. I was just going to ask you about your contribution to it.
Okay.
When the discharge summary, and in this case I'll represent to you, is prepared by Dr. Kornberg and his nurse practitioner, okay, do they ask for your input, or is this pulled over? How does this process work?
That's pulled over. Every week we have rehab staffings where we provide updates about how the person is doing, so it looks like this was pulled from that.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about those meetings. Are those weekly meetings at Tampa General where you discuss patients?
Yes.
Is that an interdisciplinary team meeting?
It is.
I'm going to ask you about your last interaction, which is at 0051. Looks like after discharge, you followed up with Mrs. Kowalski. Take a moment to read the note.
Okay.
What were you charting in terms of this note?
About Maya's return to school.
And as of that time, from your standpoint as a neuropsychologist, you believe Maya was ready to return to school?
Yes.
Come on. I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Kowalski's lawyer. So, you're at Tampa General. Is that the largest hospital in the Bay Area?
I don't know.
Is it one of them?
I'm sure it is.
How about Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital? Is that one of the largest in the Bay Area?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. So, would you agree with me that psychology is not exactly an exact science?
Yes, I would agree.
All right. And let's look at 3047-0056. I wanted to go over exactly what the discharge notice stated. 3047-0056, just up. Okay. Under diagnoses there, do you see it?
Yes.
What are the diagnoses?
History of steroid-induced myopathy, myalgia and myositis, quadriparesis, and psychological factor affecting physical condition.
Okay. Do you see the diagnosis of conversion on there?
No, I don't.
With a child, in fact, anyone in extreme pain, would you agree with me that there is always a psychological overlay to some extent?
Probably.
And so, did it also come to your attention that after discharge, you recommend they follow up with, mental health care counseling, that they did, in fact, follow up with Eagle's Wings in Venice?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Did you ever determine whether they followed up with either of your recommendations or whether they went to another place, in this case, Eagle's Wings Psychology in Venice?
Okay. No.
If they did, then that would be following up with what you recommended.
Correct.
How many, just out of curiosity, about how many sessions per week in your experience? Now, you weren't board certified in pediatrics at the time Maya was in, is that right?
Pediatric neuropsychology, correct. That was not an option at that point. That was a new board.
But you are now, is my point.
Correct.
All right. And the reason I ask that is just your experience about how often in an inpatient setting, to be really effective, should a psychologist meet with the child? And I say that noting that I think you met like five times or over 5 hours in 2 weeks. So I just wanted to get an idea of how often to get a good result, a psychologist, psychotherapist should meet with the child.
Your Honor, I object based on, I guess I'll just briefly approach on this.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, Lady Luck?
Bretzky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack, craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I like things my way, my coffee, my schedule, and my treatment. So I talked to my doctor about self-injecting with the VivGuard Hytrulo prefilled syringe, which contains efgartigimod alpha and hyaluronidase QVFC. It's injected under your skin, subcutaneously. It means I can inject in my space, on my time. It's my treatment, my way. Visit VivGuardMyWay.com. That's VYVGARD MyWay.com. And talk to your doctor about VivGuard Hytrulo. Brought to you by Argenix.